This is Tom Waddle on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast, sponsored by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Go Waddle. Very nice. Hope everyone's having a good Thursday, getting through the week. The long weekend is almost here, but they all feel like, I don't know. I don't even know what they feel like. They all feel the same, sort of, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do. I think you're ready to go, though. Your hands in the ground. You're ready to come out firing tomorrow. So
yeah, tomorrow's the big day for me. So yeah. Tomorrow's my first day of chemo. Today I underwent my second immunotherapy session, where they administer it the same way as chemo, but it doesn't have the side effects. I haven't experienced the side effects. This is now my second, and I had it today, and I feel like normal.
Awesome.
And tomorrow will be, I'm sure, a little different, but I'm very optimistic and looking at it glass half full and ready to cure this thing. And all the people who have listened to this show and understand what we're doing with the T-shirts, one in which Mason designed and another in which Joe from Obvious Shirts designed. You can buy these shirts at obviousshirts.com. We have partnered ESPN Chicago with Obvious Shirts to raise money for the V Foundation, charity near and dear to all of us, Waddle. And we've been talking about the benefits of every cent going to cancer research. And it's me being on a clinical trial. It's because of advancements. And so therefore, I want to do something where we can raise money for people going forward and eventually have a cure. So I was happy to report before the show started, as of 1:30 today, in less than 24 hours after these shirts went on sale at obviousshirts.com, that we have raised over $10,000 already.
Hotcakes.
Yeah. I mean,
that's awesome.
And thank everybody. I know how times are extremely tough these days. I mean, there have been so many people asking for money. We have all felt the ramifications of what we're going through right now. And I don't expect everybody to donate who want to, because they have kind hearts, but just because they don't have it in their means. But if you do, you can buy one of these great shirts, and they're fantastic qualities, at obviousshirts.com.
Can I make a suggestion? Because when these shirts sell out, because they're hotcakes, and people do want to participate, even though, as you so eloquently,
I don't know if they're going to sell out. I think Joe's going to keep on restocking them.
Okay, well, I just want a different. I want one. I want to make a suggestion for another one, another choice.
Okay. You want a third design?
I want
like Braxton, the city edition.
I want Braxton's hand dipped in paint. Okay, just his hand, his little hand, with the middle finger in the air, underneath it. Say the word cancer. So it's Braxton's middle finger and then the word cancer underneath.
Okay, that's good. And then we could have one by Mason and one by Braxton.
That's the point.
I like that suggestion. That's
how
good.
Do you like that?
I love it.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
That way we
love
get
it.
Braxton involved as well. Now, and, you know, we're going to have to tell him at some point when he gets older that he's the reason why, you know, like, we gave you the finger. But, you know, he'll be cool with that.
On this design, can we also have Sylvie dip his hand in paint and put it next to Braxton so we can see a side-by-side comparison?
Guess which one is Braxton's.
Yes, two middle fingers.
Definitely.
Go.
Absolutely.
Hey, go. And then you can go, what did you say? Put there, F cancer? Or?
Yeah. No, just the hand.
Okay, then in parentheses, guess which finger's Braxton's.
Yeah, there you go.
Then you got the joke all in one. So
you go,
thank you to everybody. I mean, Mike Thomas and the ESPN Chicago crew, Debbie Brown from Promotions, who's been fantastic at Good Karma Brands and working with us to get this going with the good team at ESPN and the V Foundation. And it's all together. Everyone, Joe from Obvious Shirts. And of course, thank you to our fans, the biggest ones, the ones paying the money for these shirts. Waddle will tell you, these are the most comfortable shirts you'll ever wear. Like, as far as a quality for a t-shirt, it's important. Like, the other day, someone gave me a t-shirt design that I liked, and this has nothing to do with me. Like, I forget if it was a Southern shirt or something else, but it was still the old school material. Yeah. I'm not going to wear it. It doesn't get in my drawer.
Yep. or your drawers. I'm with you. I like those t-shirts. Like, if I don't feel like this buttery sensation when I touch it, I won't wear it. And these shirts definitely they pass the buttery sensation test.
And then they hug your biceps too. Yeah. So even if you don't have much muscle, it looks like you are actually a little more muscular.
I know Karm bought himself a medium. Any word whether or not Zetterman bought himself a boy's small?
A V-neck. A women's V-neck in a medium. Yeah.
Wait until you guys get back in the studio, because Danny Zetterman's got some new shades he's wearing these days.
I heard about this. What is he doing because of the blue light from the from the devices?
Yes, and he interviewed on his podcast, The Armchair Nutritionist. He had on a guest who is promoting these glasses, which basically reduce the blue light so that you can sleep better at night. And so he looks like he's going to a shooting range. They're like these yellow glasses to prevent the blue light.
They're for staring at a computer.
Correct,
right?
But he looks like he's headed out to a shooting range.
My daughter's got glasses like that too, but she does not look like she's heading out to shoot skeet. They just look normal.
I'm telling you, that's the first thing I thought is where's your shotgun?
He's going to a duck blind with a good kid.
Nice. It is a good concept because we stare at our phones all day, and it's got like the really bad light, and it keeps supposedly creates anxiety and keeps you up at night. So that's supposed to filter it out.
So do children. Right, I mean, it's
children. Right,
do you have glasses?
Childproof glasses.
Child glasses, like when you put your glasses on and you look at your child. Actually, it turns the child into an adult. So you look at the child, and it's actually a visual of that child at 24.
Right, right. You don't want to wish away time, but you at least get like a couple of hours where you don't have to. You could eat, and you don't have to deal with whining. You don't have to deal with fighting. They could have a glass of wine with you, and then you put them to bed, and then they're 5 years old.
How great is that? A pair of glasses that you put on, and instead of your 6 year old sitting there with a finger in his nose and poop in his pants. You look at a sharp kid, it takes your child, it transforms that child into a recently graduated, student of distinction from your favorite university.
I'd sign up for that. I'd sign up because it's always this chaos all the time.
And then you take your glasses off, and then you see that kid with permanent marker all over the couch.
Yeah. Rob's on 294. Hey, Rob, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good.
I was going to tell you a couple things. One was my top four. Number four on the guilty pleasure shows, kind of a tie between those male-female cop shows, Hunter, which was like my favorite. I loved Hunter, Fred Dreyer, Stephanie Kramer. Tied with Silk Stockings. You ever hear of that show?
Oh, yeah.
That's Missy Capture. Freaking love that show.
Yeah,
and then
too.
You got to throw in Baywatch at three, but I don't have to tell about that one. Number two, I used to
time out. Let me get a 20-second here. I just want to know which Baywatch. Are we looking at Yasmin Bleeth? Are we looking at Pam Anderson? Are we going to Nicole Eggert? Which era Baywatch are we at?
I would say the earlier one.
Okay.
The earliest one, and they had a I actually enjoyed the movie version characters they brought on there
I
with the Rock.
Even
though it was super cheesy, but like those they weren't hard on the eyes. Anyways, number two, my sister and I used to love looking forward to watching Magnum PI. It was just an awesome show with great guest stars.
It was pretty popular, though, wasn't it? Magnum PI was pretty popular.
It was the highest rated show on television, I think, for a while.
Oh, at the time. Okay. I actually didn't hear that it couldn't be popular. Sorry. So, and the top one is, of course, Three's Company, which was also very popular, but just a fantastic show. I was getting a master's at U of I before going to med school. I got a master's, and my place got broken into. I used to have every episode of Three's Company on tape, like the actual, VHS tape. And my TV and VCR got stolen. And the reason, the most mad I was, is because one of my Three's Company tapes was in the VCR that got stolen.
No.
Yeah, so that was like why I was...
A knock on our door.
Yeah. That was the best show anyway. But I want to give a quick shout out. Sylvie, you're like my mirrored life. Like we're both, I'm 49. I think you are exactly. Lifelong Cubs angst fan, 84, 89, friggin' Steve Garvey. Like my whole life is everything you discuss about that. People make fun of you. That was my life too. I wept by myself on when Cubs won the World Series late at night all by myself on the couch. Anyway, but I also want to tell you, I had lymphoma many years ago, got treated, cured, And it's all going to be the same just with both of us again. Just wanted to give you a shout out. Good luck, man.
Rob, that's awesome. I'll follow in your footsteps, brother. Thank you for the phone call.
Yeah, good.
There you go. That's Rob. Yeah, good. Very
good
uplifting.
Phone call there.
Maybe we're the same guy. Who knows? Brother from another
parallel
mother?
Universe.
I put my glasses on and I look at Rob and I see you. And then I take them off and then I see Rob. And then I put them back on and I see you. I was thinking about Three's Company on my list as well.
And then when he mentioned the guest stars of Magnum P.I., I was thinking of Love Boat. Like Love Boat to me was... I loved it. The Love Boat was great.
It was Love Boat and Fantasy Island on it.
My Saturday nights as a child, I was younger than you, so I still, the babysitter would come over, we would watch.
Was she hot?
Not really, no. Okay. I don't think I ever had a hot babysitter. It was Different Strokes, Facts of Life, Love Boat. And then at 9 o'clock it would be Fantasy Island. And if I was good, I got to stay up for Fantasy Island.
Yeah, that was great. That lineup was fantastic. Who was your favorite character on Love Boat? Mine was always Isaac the bartender.
Yeah, Isaac was funny, right?
He was cool.
Yeah. Gopher provided a lot of a comic. Like, to me, when I was a young child, I wanted to one day strive for. There were two things in 70s television that I wanted to strive for. One was to be on Family Feud and to be in the leading spot. Okay. Two was to go on the Love Boat and be invited to the captain's table to have dinner.
Yes.
Those were my two goals in life.
And you figured if you ended up winning a few episodes of Family Feud, you would be invited to the captain's table.
Yes. I mean, that was like an honor. Like, Captain Steubing wanted you to have dinner at the captain's table. And I've never been on a cruise. I still haven't been on a cruise.
Really?
You probably never will be now.
I don't know if I want to be on a cruise. Yeah, especially now.
I got to tell you, I was thinking different things. I was talking, you know, maybe wanting to sit and have a quiet dinner with the woman that was, you know, Captain Steubing's right-hand assistant. Julie, yes.
Yeah.
Instead of being at the captain's table dinner, maybe, you know, just a little, you know, kind of romantic dinner for two.
I was young, you know, I was innocent.
That's true. Good point.
Greg in St. John's, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Braggs?
What's happening, boys? You know, I wanted to call because I heard you guys talking a little bit about the shirts, and that's great to hear. You know, good news with the. I had no doubts there. You know, when you set the mark yesterday, I was kind of like, that's going to get surpassed quick. But, you know, you were talking about new ideas, and when I was looking through it, I was a little disappointed. There's no tank top for me. You know, it's about to be tank top season here. I kind of need one.
You can always cut the sleeves off.
The whole family's getting shirts, but I really feel like a tank top is in due here for the summertime. What do you think?
Well, I think you know Joe. I bet you Joe can do that.
We grew up in the same subdivision. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can, actually. Yeah, yeah. But
cut the sleeves off, Max. You know,
I never would have guessed that you and Joe grew up.
That'll be the next 30 for 30.
Yeah, I'm sure. But yeah, I'm sure it'll do it for you.
And Sylvie, you know, I do want to say, I want to, you know, give you my best wishes. I know tomorrow's the next step in your journey, and I have no doubt you're going to knock it all out, but I wanted to give you my best, and we'll be getting all our shirts. I'll be sending you a picture here real soon.
Yeah, that's the next thing, Greg, is when they do arrive at people's houses, I want to see people start tweeting them and, you know, get it going. So we appreciate you, Greg. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, you guys take it easy.
There's Greg in St. John's. So really, really supportive. He's a good
dude.
His mom sent me a card to my house.
Did she?
She sent me a greeting card.
That dude's got a huge heart.
Really big. Yeah, we goof with him a lot, but that guy is one of the best.
Yep, legit.
And that's why we started letting him on our show, because he's just a good dude. All right, coming up next, the 2-point conversion, the onside kick.
Yep.
The onside kick, would you rather keep it the way it is and have the luck of the bounce of the ball, or would you rather have the offense control it with a 4th and 15 play? That's coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
This portion of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Even in these uncertain times, the entire Home Loan Expert team is working day and night to ensure that their clients are getting their loans at record speeds. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com. Check out my guy, Ryan Kelly. You're going to love the customer service. Unmatched. All right, so the NFL will, you know, they always take a while to adapt and
tweak some things.
Yeah, and tweak some things. And they're always open to tweaking some things. But would you rather have it 4th and 15, and if you convert on one play after you just scored, you get the ball back? Or would you rather do the onside kick, which the percentage of that has really dropped since the new rules about you know, the way you can run to the line of scrimmage?
All right, my first response to you is as I yelled at you guys today when we talked about this, it should be very difficult for you to recover an onside kick because you stunk for 59 minutes and you weren't the better team. And now you're trailing and you're rallying. So you shouldn't be given a participation trophy type of opportunity to get the ball back and then go make magic after being poo for 59 minutes. So you should not have a high success rate for something that would get you back into the game. You should have the opportunity, but that mountain should be a steep, tall mountain for you to climb. Now, my response to my own soliloquy would be, what is the conversion rate of 4th and 15 across the league? And how would that compare to what the success rate of the onside kick has been over the last couple of years?
So in last season, there were 7 attempts of 4th and 15. Two of them I think it's because it's specifically 4th and 15, not 4th and 15 or long, you know what I mean, or longer.
Okay. So that seems low to me, but okay.
But that specific number of 4th
is exactly 4th and 15.
Exactly. So there were 2 for 7 last year, which is 28.6%. From 2015 through 2019, there have been 29 attempts of 4th and 15, 7 conversions. So that's 24.1%, which is in line with what the old onside kick conversion rate used to be prior to them changing the running head start.
So wait a second. So you're telling me that before they changed the onside kick rule, that teams were successful on 25% approximately of their onside kick attempts?
It was 21.7% recovery rate.
That shocks me. 20%?
Me too. That surprised me when I just heard that as well.
I was thinking maybe 7%.
No. So actually, it was the onside recovery rate was just 7.5%.
That's right.
In 2018.
That's the problem, and it's been the thing, Waddle. It's been too much of a luck play and very. It's not even worth doing anymore. I mean, I guess
sure
you have
is.
To. Well, I mean,
be better.
But it's also a lucky play. Do you know what I mean? Like. Mm-hmm.
No, Sylvie's right. There's more skill.
I want skill involved. And what's more exciting for a sport, Waddle, than getting the offense back on the field with one make or break play for the football?
I think there's a lot of luck at times in converting 4th and 15. You may have a guy fall down. You may have a ball tipped in the air. There's good.
I know, but that's a football play. Like, here you've got the kicker. You know, there's no rhyme or reason on how they bounce or how they don't bounce. Like, Robbie Gould is one of the better kickers in the league. Didn't he have a horrible record as far as, like, ever getting an onside kick recovered just because it's the luck of the bounce?
Well, you've had 59 minutes to make better plays. Why all of a sudden now do we need to make it easier for you to accomplish something that gets you back into a game that you've been losing?
Well, because the goal wasn't on the onside kick to worsen the odds. The goal was to make it safer on the kickoff. So this was the unnecessary, the circumstance that they weren't necessary. An unintended consequence of the new kickoff rule was that because of the lack of the run-up, it made it harder to recover the onside kick. They didn't say to themselves, what we need is to make the onside kick harder to recover. They wanted the kickoff to just be safer.
Okay, so how long ago has it been since?
A couple years,
changed?
Two, okay. 3 years.
What was the success rate in 2018?
So 4 of 53 were converted, 7.5%.
Okay, so how about 2019?
I would have to go digging through some articles.
Well, I mean, 1 year is a very small sample size, my friend.
The Bears actually got one, didn't they? Where did they get one? The Bears got one recently.
Probably 2018 when the ball bounced in their arms every time they turned around.
Yeah. But I just think that it's better for the sport. It's a more exciting play. I would open up, like, you know, how I feel about that whole going for it on fourth down anyway. I want more of that, not less. Why wouldn't you think it would be cool? Now, it would put the defense in a – the one thing that you that I think you would have a point on, Waddle, is if you go down and score, say the Bears are playing the Packers, and say the Bears are protecting a 13-point lead, and the Packers just score a touchdown with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers takes them on a 9-play, 82-yard drive. The Bears' defense has already been on the field for 9 plays, 82 yards. Now they've got to come on the field, and they're exhausted, and they'll have to defend a 4th-and-15 play. So you would think that would give an advantage to Aaron Rodgers in some of the good offenses, right? Isn't the defense always looking to stop the onside kick after they've already been on the field?
I would think so.
So, I mean, that's always going to give a little more advantage to the offense.
See, I was so wrong when I said I've reformed my ways when I was against the change in the extra point. So you may talk to me in a year from now or 2 years from now, and I may issue the same mea culpa about being wrong about it. But I'm like, you know how I feel about overtime. Like, I don't, I'm adamant about, look, football is a three-phase game. Like, You want to try? We should have a possession of the football. No, play defense. Flip the field on field position, and then you'll get the ball back, and then you'll have a short field to go in and score.
See, I think this is where the former player in you, Waddle, and I don't disagree with you. I think the former player in you says, hey, go out and make some more plays on offense and defense, and then you don't have to find yourself in that position. But I also think from the NFL, from the league standpoint, this is all about let's keep games as close as possible with as much thrill as we can have. That way the viewers are more likely to hang around and stick around for longer.
And it's a safer play. I mean, right? I mean, you're getting guys who are getting hit as soon as that ball is being kicked. You know, people hit the intended receivers, they like half them go for the block and the other half go for the ball. People are diving for it. Isn't it about safety as well?
Yeah, but there's a certain amount of inherent risk that I'm okay with. Now, again, I'm also an advocate of trying to get as much horrible violence out of the game as possible. I'm not going to be an advocate of that.
Eric is in McHenry. Eric, you're on ESPN 1000.
Absolutely. So, Tommy, I used to caddy for you back in the day, and I was kind of just wondering, you know, the game of football is three phases. It should be equally endeavored, you know, and for us to cut out the kickoff is our special teams. That's our other phase of the game. And for to make that easier, which we have, but without making the chance of being able to have a kick return or be able to gain possession of a kickoff should be different. Don't you agree?
I'm not following. I don't mind the change. Like, I thought that the change that the XFL instituted with the kickoff, I thought was appealing.
Well, wait, Eric, aren't you just saying that you want it to be a special teams play and not an offensive play? That's what you're saying, right?
I think when you get to a special teams, because we all agree special teams are an equal part of the game of football, and for that to be apparent, we need to have some sort of leniency or some sort of able to compare them all equally.
Well, I don't think – I will say this. As much as I am a three-phase guy, I don't think that special teams is an equal part.
It only is 20% of the plays on a football.
It's not a true third like some coaches like to say.
No, but I do believe it plays an enormous role. And in like I said, I believe the biggest role and sometimes is when you make a stop on defense in the old way that we played back in the days in overtime. Like – To me, I would argue till my face was blue that, okay, you lost the coin flip. And then everyone's like, oh, well, you don't get a chance to play offense. And a whole game was defined by a coin flip. No, it wasn't. It was defined because your ass couldn't stop the other team. Because
you don't
if you
think
could
it would
stop
be so ex- you don't think that it would be so exciting. All right, here comes the Packers offense back on the field. They're going for the onside kick. Now Khalil Mack and crew, they have to stop them in a 4th and 15 play. And if they do, the Bears get the football back, you know, at the 30 or the 35 or whatever. Where would you recover the football?
My thirst has already been satiated in terms of excitement for three and a half hours.
I'm with Sylvie. It's more interesting, though. If Pat Mahomes has to go out and try and convert a 4th and 15 to keep the Chiefs in the ballgame, that's more interesting than watching to see if Harrison Butker can get lucky in the randomness of an onside kick.
But my point to you, Meller, is you're behind.
I understand
that.
Why
do I need to give you an advantage?
I'm not looking for the advantage. I'm talking about from the consumer's point of view, more interesting to have Pat Mahomes have more of a hand in this than Harrison Butker.
I think live Bears on the field is also something that
yeah,
would be
he's got to go to that.
Got a bunch
from
of
from 0 to 60, Waddle.
Got
mean,
a bunch
geez.
Of Steve Tasker loving folks on this show.
You guys are always trying to take something and tweak it as hard as you can.
Yeah,
why?
Because we evolve. We evolve. I mean, let's just take the most random play and let's say, hey, why don't you dribble this little football and let's have a bunch of guys diving for it.
Well, hey,
and if you get
you,
it, then it's
you
yours.
Let's give you more of a chance to come from behind because you're You were ass for 59 minutes and 39 seconds,
but you got
a miraculous touchdown pass, and now you're within 6 points after getting your butt kicked all day long. So what we're going to do is make it easier for you to tie it up.
Hey,
so
I've got this vanilla ice cream right here. It's really good, but would you like it with some hot fudge and caramel?
No, how dare we? How dare we ever add some hot fudge and caramel? We must all eat vanilla ice cream.
Oh, that's an asinine statement because you get 3 hours and 15 minutes of a hot fudge sundae. Like, are all of these if this football that you guys speak of was so boring, your asses wouldn't be watching
it. No, we want to make it better. You just want it as is because you don't like change.
You're old school. You're one of these old men who just is yelling about us being on your lawn.
Why don't you get out of here?
312-332-3776. And are you missing sports as much as you thought? We'll play you something from earlier today that I thought that was very interesting, but we're debating the NFL right now.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie. On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Ken Rosenthal from The Athletic just tweeted this about 15 minutes ago. So the White Sox, another club keeping all employees with full salaries and benefits through June 30th, sources tell The Athletic. Some with Chicago White Sox had hours adjusted because of the changing workloads, but salaries stayed the same. Others with no furloughs, pay cuts through June 30th, the Minnesota Twins and the St. Louis Cardinals. So the White Sox doing good work. It's why people rave about working for Jerry Reinsdorf. I mean, you know, it's really a weird dynamic where you talk to anyone who works for the club on the, you know, the like just your average Joe working for the team. You know what I mean? Whether it's ticket sales or marketing or all the other people who work, they all say that the Reinsdorfs are great to work for. It's your Michael Jordan or Scottie Pippen, you know, Frank Thomas. But he is super loyal to people like that, and it's a good thing to see.
Yeah, did the Cubs announce something similar?
The Cubs said that no one would be laid off. I want to get the exact wording. I believe it was something like no one would be laid off, but they had to take some minimum pay cuts.
Yeah,
like they were asked to take pay cuts in exchange for, hey, no one's going to get furloughed, no one's going to get laid off at least through this, and I think it was through June 30th. Can you get that came out like a day or two ago, guys. I think it was on Passan's timeline. If you look on Jeff Passan's timeline from yesterday, I'm having a slow Twitter.
You know, it's
here.
Amazing, too, not to get too far into the weeds with the economics of it but there have been like 36 million or so people, more people that have lost their jobs, and there have been a bunch of people that have taken pay cuts, and some of those pay cuts will, and their job situation will be revisited and reevaluated based on how the companies are doing in a fairly short period of time, like the end of June. So,
as you mentioned, Sylvia, it was passed, and Cubs employees will be taking pay cuts in order to avoid furloughs in June. Chicago employees will be guaranteed employment through the end of June. Most of the pay cuts will not exceed 15% of the employee salaries.
So they're right. Getting pay cuts and then still possibly could be exposed to being furloughed if, in fact, things
right.
don't get better. So
they're hoping that the season starts in mid, you know, in early to mid-July, so then that way...
Now, I want to ask you this question, and again, I'm not trying to pit us against one another when I say this, though. But when you talk about the players, do you feel the same way about when the owners look at their own employees, and these owners, as you say, are making hundreds of millions of dollars, or their asset has appreciated hundreds of millions of dollars? How do you feel about the concept of, well, why would you furlough anyone? Because in good times... You know, you probably don't give everybody a huge bonus, but in bad times...
Isn't the difference, though, the guaranteed salary, the guaranteed contract? I mean, that's what we're talking about, aren't we? I mean, it sucks for everybody.
But the force majeure clause in every contract that is signed would allow the team to get rid of paying those players.
But they can only,
they can't play.
They can only utilize that if they don't play.
Correct.
Right.
But so I'm just, I mean, whether or not it's guaranteed or not, if you're telling me that this is the one of the questions in play here is that the owners are infinitely wealthy, why would they have to give pay cuts to any of their employees if they've got an infinite well of financial resources?
I'm not going to win by arguing like a guy who makes $40,000 for the Cubs or Sox is getting the shaft and, you know, a $5 million player isn't. But I would also think that if there's no crowds, many people inside an organization still would not be working because they could be involved in ticket sales.
Right.
When a Major League Baseball player is asked to be doing exactly his job as normal, that he's still being asked to play. He's being asked to play those games and just wants the, you know what I'm saying?
Well, when baseball begins again, yes.
Right.
At that
right.
point. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, yeah, I mean, I would love that no one would lose their job.
No, it's
how do you feel about
it? Strong. I think despite the fact that all of these companies make a ton of money, I mean, you're seeing layoffs at a huge clip everywhere. I think Uber just, you know, had cut jobs a certain amount, and
it's really crazy because. There are businesses that you thought were foolproof, right? Like, you're like, why didn't... Just like, I always remember 20 years ago saying to myself, man, wouldn't it be great if we got in on the ground level of Blockbuster Video? You know what I mean? And you're like, that forever is... The concept of Blockbuster Video is awesome, and it's going to last forever.
Yeah.
You know, okay, fine. We went from VHS to now DVDs. Fine. We're good. And you're thinking that this... And then all of a sudden, poof, goes away. Like the ride sharing to get in on Uber. You think that in today's world with public transportation that the Uber way to go versus taxis is always going to last. And now people will have a lot of problems with maybe getting in someone else's car again. Don't you think?
Uh-oh, maybe we lost Waddle.
Oh, I thought you lost me at first because I know I've been having problems with that. So,
no, I think you're right, though, Sylvie, is that, yeah, people are definitely, oh, no, T-Dub lost power.
Oh, what do you mean? He lost power in his house?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Interesting.
Him in the Sears Tower.
Hmm.
Well, I wonder who
has more square footage these days.
No, it's definitely Waddle.
Yes. No, you're right, though, Sylvie. Yeah, I think people are having reservations about ride sharing going forward in the future.
And didn't you think 6 months ago, Uber, goldmine, Uber can't lose?
Yeah, no, of course. It seemed like everything was trending in that direction. Nobody foresees a pandemic on the horizon.
And it just changes everything. Blink of an eye. That nothing you could ever plan for. Nothing. All right, I want to play you this, and then we'll take a break, try and get Waddle back. And even if not, I mean, I could hold this thing down, and you could weigh in at 312-332-3776. This was Matt earlier today on Cap and Company. Black and Jesse did the show. And I was listening to this today, and I thought it was an interesting conversation. I don't want to go Norman Chat on you like he wrote in the Washington Post, but take a listen to what Matt brought to the table on Cap and Company.
My take on it is, I think there's a lot of people that are missing, that aren't missing sports as much as they thought. I mean, I thought like, holy cow, the world's coming to an end. I'm going to be missing football, missing baseball, missing NBA playoffs. But there's so many things that have kind of changed that I don't find myself missing it as much as I thought I was going to. And I'm a season ticket holder for the Bears. I'm a huge, huge Cubs fan. And I kind of like the fact that I'm not anxious over the Cubs scores every single day. And it's kind of been a nice break. And I think the people that are even less of sports fans than I am are going to realize that it's not as important as they once thought it was.
So that's my question to the guys and to you guys at 312-332-3776. You were sitting there that night that the NBA canceled that game, and then they canceled or at least postponed their season. And we're like, oh, my gosh, we're going into sports hell. I'm not. We all miss sports. That's not debatable. But have you missed sports less or more than you thought? Have you been wandering in the desert even more so? Or are you with Matt where you've been actually to survive actually pretty well and you're surprised yourself? 312-332-3776. We'll take your calls coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys, this hour is brought to you by Trend Micro Cloud One, the world's leading security services platform for cloud builders. Visit trendmicro.com/ESPN for more info.
So your power went out?
Dude, it was like, okay, if I was in a spaceship, which I've never been in a spaceship, but it sounded like in the movies where it goes and goes out. That's exactly what everything sounded like. And then it kicked right back on, but then it had to be reset, you know.
We were joking you have a lot in common with the Sears Tower with all the square footage.
This is what happens when you don't pay your bills, I guess, is probably a better answer.
So we have some callers I want to get to really quick. Have you missed sports more or less than you thought you would? And this isn't to say that you're not missing sports. This isn't like people got all up in arms with what Norman Chad wrote a couple weeks ago, because I hugely miss sports. But yes. Do you miss it as much as you thought you would?
I think we have handled, like I've said this in the past, I have missed it greatly. The same way that you just enunciated, but like I've missed it less than I thought I would. Doesn't mean I don't want it back desperately, because I do want it back desperately.
Right.
But I just feel like we've done a good job, and I'm not just saying us. I'm just saying, like, whether it's Carmen and Yurko and it's Cap and his crew and us, I think we have found a way to navigate the difficult waters. And still have.
What about you, the fan,
say,
though, who likes to come home for NBA playoff basketball?
I miss the shit. I miss stuff.
What? First, your power goes out, and then that.
Well, I didn't say. I didn't say.
Yes, you did.
Did I say?
Mellor did it not go through all the way through the goalies.
I definitely dumped it. So
been years.
It was a kick save.
I don't know. Kick save by Mellor. Yeah.
Yeah. I messed. Good job.
Not slipping one through this five hole, buddy.
I miss the crap out of it.
Me too. Yeah. But I miss it a little less. You know what I find myself doing at night? No TV being on at all. The TV,
really?
We just sit. We talk or we're on our phone.
Yeah.
You know?
That's great. I mean, that's what you should be. That's what we should all be doing anyway.
Keith in Chicago Heights, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Keith.
How's it going, man? I miss sports, but not as much as I thought I would. However, that comes with a caveat. I'm from Tuscaloosa, so college football is king.
Rota.
Right.
I think when September rolls around and football is not here, then that's when the really chaos will really start.
Yes,
I love baseball. I could do without it. I love basketball. It's hit or miss. Football, it's a whole different animal. Without football, no fantasy, no da-da-da. It's going to be tough when September rolls around.
I agree with you. I think that we have all kind of we've shown our patience, and we're like, okay, that's fine. We're, you know, we're going to social distance. We're going to stay in shelter in place. We're going to do all the things that we need to do, hoping and knowing that sports is coming. But when the football season, like, okay, baseball, I need baseball, I need baseball. Hopefully we'll get some baseball. But if I agree with him, if football, for whatever reason, is delayed or it is canceled, I think at that point we all kind of lose our minds.
Tom's in Mount Prospect. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Mark. Listen, my thoughts are with you in your battle. You are an awesome human being. I met you and Tommy 8 years ago, right after I went through some tough times with my buddy Paul. You guys were great in the studio. But
thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
You're awesome, man. I went into like a freak out when everything shut down. And then I'm a Blackhawks fan. That's really the only team I follow. And they've been bad. And then I find out today that they might be in the playoffs. Anyhow, I've had time now to kind of reflect. And I'm doing things that I should be doing for myself, that I wasn't doing for myself, good things for myself, that I wasn't doing when sports was on. So, you know, I think if anything, it's taught us how to put a little bit more balance in our lifestyle. And Tommy, I saw you a few months ago. Your dog was not getting out of the street when I was driving down your street, and I pulled over and I said, you and me got the same type of dogs. My dog does the same thing. All right, guys, I'm out.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, do you remember that? Did Lola almost get hit by Tom?
I'm not 100% sure. I'm not going to lie to you. My sound went out again because I have a crappy internet hookup right now. What did he say?
That he said that he was driving by your house and Lola ran out into the road.
Oh, really?
And then he said, we have similar dogs. My dog does the same thing.
Yeah, I think I do remember that. Like, I take my dog out on a leash even at night when I take her out in the back to go to the bathroom because of coyotes. So I very infrequently let her run free. But I do remember, I think, one time when she got out, and I was screaming like a child. Like, you know, slow down! Yeah. Stop! Don't! Everybody in place! Stop!
Mike in Oak Park, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, Sylvie. I would say I miss it less, and it's simply because of the social element. It'd be a different story if the bars were open or we could hang out with our friend's house. I think that would make us miss it more. But because of the not being able to hang out at the bars on Madison Street and Forest Park when the Cardinals are playing the Cubs or whatnot makes me miss it less.
Interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting point. And like when we do get it back, we'll all love it. But yet we can't say, boy, I got the ticket to this game or I want to go to the Bears opener and tailgate or, you know, all that stuff will be it's going to be very, very slow.
Yeah, it is.
Peter in Lombard. Pete, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, Small Am, Sylvie, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, Peter. Thank you.
I miss it, but I found myself, I found out that I'm better at something else. I'm having a lot more sex, and I found myself a lot better at that.
You're better at what? What did you say?
Having sex. I didn't know I was that good.
Really? How old are you, Peter?
I am 52.
It took you 52 years old and a pandemic for you to realize that you were good at that or you enjoyed it.
No, because I'm putting more effort into it. I ain't got nothing else to do, so I'm putting all my effort into
it now. There you go. Peter, tip of the cap to you.
That's actually me. I'm the one making the noise, not her. That'd be me.
Are you just better at the normal stuff, or are you, like, you know, experiencing new things, Peter?
You know, like ceiling fans and everything. I'm trying everything.
Ceiling fans? What do you mean with ceiling fans?
This is not getting him off. Get Peter off.
What do you mean? Peter's being keeping it real. This is pandemic talk, man.
Do you think Peter's his real name? Or is that his code name in the pandemic?
This is coming at the right time because my internet's going in and out.
Oh,
My internet cuts out, I think I speak on behalf of everybody at ESPN 1000 and certainly on the Waddle and Sylvie show. Tomorrow is a challenge, Sylvie, that you're meeting with tremendous strength and grace. And please know that while you may be there by yourself, you will have thousands of people supporting you and pulling for you. So the journey begins tomorrow. I know that you're going to meet it head on with tremendous strength. And just know that we're all there for you, my friend.
Love you guys. Thank you. Thank you to Tom Waddle. Jeff Meller and Tyler, thank you. We've got, is it Spain and Company up next,
it
Meller?
It is indeed, Sylvie.
All right, very good. For Tommy, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great and healthy Thursday night.